praise God, we got this far with our daily bread, and we think we're going to get the rest of it. Praise the Lord. I kind of feel that God is going to continue to bless us from where we left off this morning. Praise God. The contemporary gospel, the gospel for our time, gospel for our people, gospel now in Korea. Just before the Korean War, before the North Koreans attacked the South Koreans and the great distress and bloodshed that that country went under, things began to happen, peculiar things began to happen. Oral Roberts went there, and while he was out there in the big field preaching to thousands and thousands of people, lo and behold, a person appeared on the crowd, on the cloud. Just at the cloud, the form of a person appeared. And they said they saw Jesus. People testified. As a matter of fact, I saw the picture that he took. And they said they saw Jesus on the cloud there. And I think another evangelist was there preaching. And blood began to fall on the people, fall in their hands. And that was a real sign from God. And many things happened to have shown the people that God is giving them a revival. A great big revival broke out. Brethren, a revival never breaks out for nothing. It's always a reason why a revival breaks out. Now, what I'm seeing in the United States is that God is moving in the United States as not in any other country in the world right now. You know, Demas Shakarian told the story of when he was over in Armenia, when they were over there, and God began to move among them and do supernatural things, marvelous things were happening, that a prophet came and said, if the armies of Russia will come in here and destroy, and the Lord says, must leave. He told them where to leave, so the boy couldn't read. He was an illiterate. Yet he was able to write it and tell them where to go. And he showed them the map of the world, and he showed them the United States, and he showed them the West Coast, and he told them they should go there. And he wrote a letter in his own hand, and he gave them the letter, and the letter is in Los Angeles now, that at another time God will send a man to open that letter. And when that letter is opened, that will give them the next order as to what to do next. And I'm saying all this to say that I believe that the end of the earth have come upon us in the United States. That God is doing something here that he's not doing in other places but now, right now. And that there, we take it very simply and ordinary, but there is a revival of God consciousness that has never been before in the United States. People are now having a consciousness of God that has never been before. And that also in Israel, the natural Israel I'm talking about, there is also a God consciousness in the higher circles in politics that they never heard of before. Never before has the prime minister of a country got up and made a remark that we are not depending on the guns and the armament from the United States to defend us. We are not depending on our armament. We are not depending on our strength to deliver us from the Arab nation. But we are depending on God. And his confidence was very strong. He said, God will deliver us. He said, God has brought us back to Zion. Now, we have read certain things in our Bible, and we, the Christians, are willing to say this is scripture. Because out of truth, if you don't see your Bible scripture, you have lost a whole book. You won't ever see your Bible if you don't see spiritually. But remember this, that the Bible has three dimensions. One dimension in the spirit, one dimension in the natural first. God said the natural first, then afterwards the spiritual. And one dimension in the natural, one dimension in the spirit, and one dimension in the perfect or the fullness. And everything that God makes in the natural, God will perfect in the fullness. So it must go through a natural, it must go through a spiritual, and it must go through the fullness. And so when we see the promises of God to Abraham, God spoke to Abraham, and he said to Abraham, I'll give you this land from such a point to such a point. He said, look this way, as far as the eye can see, this land is yours. And God made specific promises to Abraham about the land. Well, you know what Abraham did? Abraham, now remember, God gave Abraham a promise about a piece of land. And Abraham was not mindful of the promise on the natural plane. Why? Because Abraham was a spiritual man. But if Abraham was a natural Jew, like his nephew, Lot, he would have claimed that land and said it is mine. But you know what Abraham did? Abraham gave the land away to Lot. And he said, Lot, anywhere you go, I go in the opposite direction. When a man knows God, he can afford, you know, to be generous. If God says so, brother, you want to go trying to make it. Oh, God says mine and mine, father, hold it unto death. No, sir. If God says mine and brother, you can have it. You won't keep it. And Lot couldn't keep the land. Amen. Fire raining down in Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot had to run for his life. He couldn't keep the land because the spiritual possession was not his. Look at it. You cannot possess one thing down here until you possess it in here. You're going to have to possess the spiritual land before you possess the natural land. And this is where the Jews are. The Lord said to them, I will drive out from before you 7 ice. Let's see if we can find it somewhere in the Bible here. God promised Moses in Exodus, he's going to drive out the 7 ice from before him. And if we are to take this promise, then we have no natural eyes to drive off, but we have spiritual eyes that must be driven out of the land, for even this is the road to perfection. We want the perfect until we get rid of the eyes that possess the land. I'm looking here at the 23rd chapter of Exodus. And God, and at the 20th verse we begin, behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have to fear. Beware of him, and obey his voice, provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgression. For my nature is in him, or my name is in him. If you say you have the name of Christ, that means you have the nature of Christ. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice, and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thy enemies, and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For my angel shall go before thee, and bring thee in unto the Amorites, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Canaanite, the Hivite, the Jebusite, and the one that he is left out here is the Girgashite. And the peculiar thing is that the Girgashite is not really a Hive, but he's all the Hive. Seven areas of the human soul to be conquered. Seven times you must overcome before you come into God's land perfection. Before you can possess the glory and the beauty and the power of God in you, you must overcome seven times. Now, let me give you an idea of what of how true this word is. Keep a marker there. And turn with me over to Romans chapter 8. I that possess the land must come out in order that you must come into perfection. Remember this morning I mentioned that many people want to know, how will I come into perfection? Some people say read your Bible more. Some say pray more. Some say fast more. Some say have more spiritual exercise. Go to church more. Get more fellowship with the brethren. No matter how much of that you do, you still won't be perfect if you don't get rid of the things within you that is barring the imperfection, the perfection, the imperfections that are barring the perfection. Now, moreover, verse chapter, verse 29, we start at verse 29. What did I say? Chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now God was talking about predestination by foreknowledge. And you understand that you are not predestinationist here. Nobody believes that God predestined somebody to be good and predestined somebody to be bad. Predestined one man to be a devil and the other man to be a son of God. And that is a lie. God, the good God, wouldn't do that to you. What God is saying is that you are predestined, all of you were predestined, to be made into the image of Christ. In other words, God is saying there is no man or woman who God didn't make to be like Jesus. What's the reason it says? Moreover, whom he did predestinate can be called. Whom he did call, then he justified. And whom he justified, then he glorified. What shall we say then? These things. If God be for us, who shall be against? And so on. But we know, therefore, that God has called all men. What am I talking about? Every living human being on earth, God has called. God never gave him the opportunity of going to heaven. He could not go to heaven. Very simple, very reasonable, very natural. Very much God. God has to show each man salvation before the man can be condemned. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and you rather darkness arise, for your deeds are evil, you must reject Jesus in order to go to hell. So you can stop worrying now. You won't make it. There's not one soul in this building who qualifies for hell. You don't qualify. As a matter of fact, if you ever made that mistake before, you wouldn't make it again. You wouldn't want to do it. But the devil takes one of you down, he's going to hurt his own business. Yeah. Remember, he took Jesus. Jesus on his head. And Jesus didn't have anything, but Jesus took all other people's sins, so he thought he could take him down. And the devil must have known that God was going to judge the case. And if God judged the case and the Lamb was a perfect offering, what would God do? God would set all mankind free. And this man that was in hell was one of mankind. So he also was set free. Hallelujah. And so Christ had the privilege of going down into hell and entering into Peter. And who would he enter into first? But Jesus, who was his own soul. So the Christ occupies Jesus' soul as the only man whose soul has been filled with the power of God, the life of God, Jesus. He was so filled with life that his blood was charged with the energy and the life of God. It's hard for you to understand. Let me explain this. That there was a man named Elijah, and a man lived such a sanctified life that when he died, his bones blinked and white, and they threw a man down into the grave, and the bones brought the man back alive. The reason why we are in this condition, friends, the reason why we're sick, the reason why we're sad, the reason why we're worried sometimes, is because we lack energy. We lack spiritual life, of force, power to resurrect the dead. We lack it in our own beings, in our own bodies. This is why God says, pray, our Father, give us this day our daily bread. Now, once you get that bread, you get energy, you get life, you get power in your very being. Hallelujah. Yeah. You pray up. And charge up your battery and go out to the street. And don't say anything to anybody if you want to. People start getting zapped by the power of your being there. I see. Tomorrow morning, charge your battery before you go out. Whatever you ask God for, this will happen. Ask God to bless all those people who come in contact with you. And you see what happens. You see, you are the arm of God. God doesn't have any more arms in the earth besides people. And God is spoken clearly in Revelation chapter 1 and in verse 20. The Lord says, and he held in his right hand 7 stars. And what did he say the 7 stars are? We better read it because somebody doesn't remember. Oh, he said the 7 stars are 7 messengers. And tell me, brethren, did God send priests down here to preach, to pastor the churches? Come on now. Has God started to send angels to pastor churches?
No.
So it has to be 7 men he's talking about. 7 times are 7 men who God always has anointed in the earth to keep things going. Have to keep a balance in the gospel. Hallelujah. So, when we talk about God's movement in the earth, we better understand that God's movement in the earth must come forth through men. Angels cannot preach gospel. Angels can only carry message. That's why they're called angels. Angels, which means messenger. So there are 3 types of angels in the Bible, you know. There are human angels. Some of the men you see in the Bible, they are not spirit beings, they are men. Angels, the Bible refers to them as angels. They are spirit, they are men, not spirit beings. Some of them are spirit beings, amen, of God, and some are spirit beings of the devil. Amen. I'm going to show you a scripture that you never thought of before. And now if you have thought of it before, correct me.
Okay? Let's see how accurate I could be on that. Turn to Revelation chapter 9. And let us look at the first verse. And the fifth angel sounded. That means we were at the golden hour. Place where God is asking men to offer up their souls. Okay, brother. When the sixth trumpet sounds, what do you do? When you hear that trumpet, when you hear that voice of God, you are going to offer your soul willingly to God. When you heard the first trumpet, what did you do? You accepted Jesus as a personal savior. Because you heard the trumpet. You could go and let it go before you heard it.
Amen.
All right. When you heard the second trumpet, what did you do? You start to think of seriously about dying to self, giving up your life. Amen. When you heard the third trumpet, you start singing. Union with the Spirit. You want to walk with the Spirit. The Holy Ghost becomes real to you, and you want to obey. When you hear the fourth trumpet, it could be either third or fourth, I don't know which it is, but let's say fourth. When you hear the fourth trumpet, you start feeding on Christ from the body, from the Christ within you, the new voice in you that is talking to you, you start listening to it, and from Christ that will just fall upon you sometimes and anoint you. Hallelujah. So you start feeding up on Christ in two different dimensions. So when you hear the fifth trumpet, you will offer up your soul to God. You have no more desire to be any great thing in the world. You have no more will than all you want. He says, give every blessing that God gives you back to God and for God to use. Okay? So this is where we're talking about. And the angel sounded the fifth trumpet. And when that trumpet sounds, when men begin to offer themselves to God, remember, if you don't, something's going to hit you. Because every time a trumpet sounds and lifts the church to a high, this trumpet sees something. If you're not there, you get it. Are you with me? In other words, when God gives you an order, do it. Obey, because if you don't obey, something else is coming behind. That's why the general tells you, move forward, move on. Now why should I?
It's just a good year I don't believe it.
You stay here. Look, he saw an earth, and I saw a star fall from heaven. Now tell me, is that star an angel? Would you think it was an angel? Would you think that star that fell from heaven was one of God's angels falling?
No.
I heard one brother preaching that the angels are still falling every day. He doesn't know that heaven has been perfect long ago. Look, brethren, angels don't fall. Angels descend. Anything that falls must be a man. Just one word. You know, I went and looked up. I looked up the Greek to make sure that somebody didn't make a misinterpretation. But when God tells me anything, I look it up. Is that the way you do it? Oh, yes, sir. I don't want any old devil to come and deceive me. So when God tells me anything, I look it up.
Jesus is really God.
I know it's God, I better make sure. Double check. Every time. And so an angel, a star falls from heaven, it must be a man falling from his high position. What kind of man do you call a star? Christian, yes, and a star. And so a Christian fell from his Christianity and he got a key. He got a key to open a door. And this thing that is translated in the bottom left pit. It's better translation. He got a key to open the shaft of the abyss. You know, like you go into a mine, and the mine has a shaft that goes down into the mine. Well, and there's a door on that shaft, and that abyss that God is talking about, it means that the abyss will be the very last corner of hell. In other words, right tonight, as we sit under it, the devil has some trump cards on his sleeve. And he's going to play them when he finds the right type of man to work with. Amen? Well, this guy had a key to open the backside of hell. And he did it. And it's a man. It's a Christian man. That is going to do it. And he's going to let loose upon the earth smoke of a great furnace. Scripture describes it as heat. Fervent heat. One part of the scripture describes it as fervent heat. Somebody is going to let loose the devil's trump card upon us. The air was darkened and so on and so on. Well, what I was showing you here is that it was a man. This angel was a man. This star here was a man. Or is a man. All right. Now, we go back to what we were saying. We were back in Exodus talking about the angel of God leading the people of God through the wilderness. And it's surprising that this angel led them into battle. Definitely it's got to be a star. Check your whole Bible. Hallelujah. All of us, Mr. Don't let them run too far. The truth is, you can't help thinking. You can't help thinking that the Bible is accurate. Satan was described as a bright morning star. Lucifer died before he fell. After he fell, they never called him a star anymore. He was called Satan, the devil. Did you notice that? He fell and he changed his name. He changed his name from bright morning star to the adversary, Satan. So I want you to notice that the name is the nature. The name is the nature. And when the nature is changed, the name is changed. Praise God. From bright morning star to the adversary, Satan. Now, so therefore, check your Bible and you'll find a star means Son of God, Christian, satisfied. And this star fell from its position and brought destruction to the earth. There are other stars that fell. You read them, chapter 8 tells you of every trumpet there that blew, a star fell. And what they did. And you watch it and see the things that are being done. You know, the great part about your Bible and you is that we, the people of the end time, we can look at the stars and put a man's name there. Yeah, after he does the thing, right? We can definitely say, this is here, we're here. So the people of past time couldn't do that because they just weren't in the time. But we are a different people. Let's go back to Exodus. And here is Exodus 1, Exodus chapter 23, and we see seven areas of your being that must be delivered from satanic influence. Amen? Now let me show you where we are. You know, this is not a fallacy, it's not something I make up. This is just where we are. Right now, tonight, we have the natural Israel battling, struggling with people who are in the land, who never came out, and who now claim the land.
mention that. Have you ever heard people saying that, well, I am Irish? When they say I'm Irish, you know what they mean. They have the right to chop you up and knock you down with you.
They have the right to get mad, don't you?
They are claiming that they are Amorites.
You have to rebuke that spirit and get it out of you.
Right? Now, the certain areas of our life which would bring forth all the glory of God were at one time occupied by satanic forces. Now, as soon as we drive back these forces, because we have to deliver these things up for God to deal with them, or God can't deal with them. As soon as we push these things back, we will gain ascendancy over them, and we will gain the victory, and we will come into God's perfection. We can be perfect right here, you know that. And so, the angel of God, or Michael, the archangel, at this time, is helping us. He gets direct words of God to help us to overcome these things in our nature that are marring our lives. See, because the lust, evil desire, emulation, fear, you know, all these live with them so long that we begin to say these are a part of us. Don't claim any nature that you got from your parents. Don't claim it. It's not yours. You don't want it. You want the nature of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so, no Amorite-ish nature you're going to get. Now I want to show you something. You turn to let me see now. Judges, and you look at 24 and 11, and here you see all the ice, the ice that was left out, eh? Oh, I'm sorry, I have one.
Joshua, maybe?
Joshua, 24.
Yeah.
Read that out for me.
And you went over Jordan and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand.
And I delivered them into your hand. But you know what happened? They never drove them out. They made a covenant with them. They formed a working agreement with them. They mixed with them, and the condition of the natural Israel tonight is the same condition. Yes.
What are these seven heights in my nature that I am feeling and
Well, I think the key or the clue to it lies in the name. And the meaning of the name. Some were dwellers in the land, some were all different kind of meanings. I don't memorize the seven meanings, but you just look them up and realize that they are part of the whole of your nature. Now, the reason I didn't memorize it, I'll tell you why. It has no meaning to me. Because I know what's bothering me. See, I know what's bothering me. And I might not be able to relate it to an eye here, but I know that whatever is bothering me is living or feeding upon the seven areas of my nature that God has placed in me, and that there are seven messages of life that I must imbibe, which will destroy the seven eyes. See what I mean?
Yeah.
Once you give of yourself to God, once you surrender your thoughts to God, He will begin to show you what's wrong with you. And let me tell you, 3/4, I should have said 100%, of the problems that we have in life, they are given to us. I love the devil to put us in that raw spot because he wants us to cover up, to get a healing, to get deliverance. See, sometimes we're not aware of certain things in our nature. Until God lets certain things happen to you, you never even know that you are that kind of person. It's an honest truth. So God is saying to the church tonight, be ye perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And you said, oh, brothers and sisters, can we be perfect? Yes. If God said we can be, then God ought to know.
Amen.
I wouldn't believe it if he didn't say so. Hallelujah. No, to God, not to you. Because when you think you have gone someplace and you made a grave and you're searching to your own mind, you find some little skullduggery there that you said, well, I didn't know. I was taken wrong. So this is the constant judgment that the Christian is under in his own consciousness. The tendency, and let me tell you, this is a tendency of people who are weak. The tendency to point somebody else and find fault in everybody else. But Jesus Christ is leading us tonight. That angel that led the children of Israel through the wilderness is leading the church to find our own fault. But this is the last revelation of the Spirit that I've had recently, that we have been concentrating and doing something, getting this right, fixing that. And we need to concentrate on the basic things in our nature which are wrong. Amen. It's taking up offense. The Spirit are ready to say someone is against me, to accuse somebody. Somebody come along and tell you something about somebody, and you said, I know it. You, there's something there that needs to be fixed. God wants us to start looking inside. And when you talk about you have the gift of prophecy, or you have the vision of God, you better believe it, that vision must look inside first. Before you start looking outside. Yeah, many of us have great vision. We can see a lot of people. But we have very little vision for our inside. This is what we talk about, the Christ within. For the Christ within will lead us into little corners where we begin to see our inside. And realize that there is a fault there. In our daily activities, God is trying to show so far, but many times we don't see. And sometimes when we go into traumatic experience, it is because God has brought us to a place where He is knocking loud and clear. Understand what I'm saying? Praise God. And so, let's go on with the talk. Here we are. And somebody says, natural Israel, I don't believe it. I don't believe natural Israel has anything to do with my gospel. Who is it? Who is it that wrote this Bible here? Who is it that God wrote about? Was it a highly spiritual people? It was natural Israel. And you know what I discovered? That some of the promises that God gave Israel haven't come to pass.
nation. Do you know that?
God told Israel, for instance, that Messiah would come and that he, Messiah, would bring peace on earth, that he would let the plow, the swords, the beaten in the plowshare, and Messiah has come, but the Jews have not seen that yet, neither have you. Tonight they are talking about peace and they are rattling their sabers. And the whole world is one massive armed camp. And I'm telling you, I believe that what God is showing us in Revelation 9 is that somebody is going to touch the button. And all that smoke and that locust and that destruction that God is talking about is going to come to pass in our time. And we, at last, will get an opportunity of growing up and maturing in the Spirit. You didn't want that opportunity, did you? Praise God. But it seems to me that God is strengthening his people at this time, that in the United States there is more miracles, more activity of God, more deliverance, more blessings than in any other corner of the world. You believe me? The miracles that are being done here for one day would overflow the acts of the apostles, just one day. The miracles that are done in this country, I love it, for one day. Amen. You want a miracle? Just call on God for it, you get it. Miracles are the common things around now. You know that, don't you? Oh, yes. Well, you don't read about them, sister. You don't hear them on the radio. You never seen one? Hallelujah. What about your life? Here at home, I know that we take some of these things for granted. But God Almighty is creating deliverance here as never before. And so as it was in Korea, before darkness came down, so it was in Vietnam before darkness came down, so it is in this country. And I say that, brethren, I see the darkness very, very near to us. You only have to take a plane, and in a few hours, you can be down in the darkness. Oh, yes. You can go north, or you can go south. You can go east, or you can go west. And you are in the darkness within a few hours. I'm talking about spiritual darkness. Countries are joining to this country where spiritual freedom is being taken away from people. Amen? And that God is showing you all this because God wants you to come into a place of strength before other things begin to happen. Praise God. Now, I want you to look with me. Hallelujah. Over here. Thank you, Jesus. In John chapter 5, the Jews were talking to Jesus about Moses. And they said that Moses gave us the commandments and so on. And Jesus is trying to tell them that your Bible, your the gospel is one gospel. There is no Moses gospel and Jesus gospel. Right? This is what we are fighting with today, because many people say, oh, because he says, you love too much types and shadows. He says, anytime you get into that type and shadows, you show me what the Bible says, don't show me what type and shadows say. But if God didn't write the Bible in types and shadows, we'll have nothing else. Father will change it all up.
When people read a beautiful story like Samson, and they put it in a moving picture, Samson and the lion, the sinners rejoice over it like the children rejoice over Superman. To the sinners, Samson is a great big Superman story, and they don't have to believe that story. But God made it go into your Bible, and the whole gospel story is written in the story of Samson. The lion, Satan. What did Moses say about Jesus?
Nothing. On the surface. But you know what? Let me show you another scripture to bring that point out. I won't tell you until I show you. Turn around with me to Revelation chapter 5. And I saw, verse 1, in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book written within and on the back side. What? Sealed with 7 seals. Did it ever occur to you that the seals of the Bible, the Word of God, is sealed not on the front where it can easily be seen, but on the back side? Unless you read through the book, you never get to the seal. It's hidden. It's on the back side of the book, the 7 seals. And unless you dig, you never get to the part where it is sealed. Then you find that you have to have the keys to open the seal. Okay. Now, Moses therefore wrote about Jesus. So Moses wrote the 5 books, and we find that all Moses' writing was about the children of Israel leaving Egypt, traveling from Egypt to Canaan land, and Moses died there, and Joshua took over from Moses and took them across Jordan into Canaan land. And when they went there, what happened? God said, "Now you just start fighting." But Lord, we did 40 years in the wilderness. We thought we had it made now. We're just going into possess now. Land of milk and honey. Did you ever find that kind of disappointment? That you feel that, Lord, when I received the Holy Ghost, I got it made. Ask and it shall be given. I don't have to work anymore. Ask and it shall be given. But then when they reach there now, let's turn back to Judges. When they reach the promised land, we find that all the land flowing with milk and honey that God told them about, they had to fight to get the milk, and they had to really struggle to get the honey. Oh yes. You think your Samson had sat down, he would get any honey out of that? He had to kill the lion, fight him, destroy him in order to get the honey coming out of that carcass. In Joshua chapter, did I say Judges? I meant Joshua. In Joshua chapter 1, God repeated the promises that he gave to Moses. Because here was now the promises beginning to be fulfilled. In verse 3 says, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, and as I said unto Moses." Amen? So remember now, we're not talking about Joshua. We are not talking about the piece of land down in Palestine. We are not talking about Perizzites and Philistines and all those people who live down here. But we are talking about something in your spiritual life, in Jesus. This is all that I took you to John chapter 5 to show you. Just that phrase, Moses wrote of me. That all that Moses wrote was about Jesus. But can I let you into a secret? It wasn't just all about Jesus, but it was about Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
It wasn't all about Jesus Christ, but it was about the body of Christ, which ye are. So that you're in the Bible. The Bible wrote about you. Okay. If the Bible wrote about you, then you must get out of Egypt. For sure. You know that. We have done that, okay? But then after we come out of Egypt, we are in the desert. We don't get to Canaan yet. And we have to struggle and fight, and there is thirst and there is hunger and there is suffering in the desert. Long and hard heat and worry. But we finally come to Canaan, boy. See the beautiful river, the Jordan River flowing down here. And God said, all right, you don't have any boat, but I'm going to take you across the Jordan River in a supernatural operation. Okay? And so you begin to talk in tongues. You begin to talk in tongues, that means you have your nature. Your nature has been somewhat tamed. Your natural nature, physical nature, the seven eyes that feed the river, that feed the seven eyes in your life. The natural river of physical life has been barred by the Spirit and allow Israel to cross over into dry land. But the first that you touch your foot into the land of Canaan, a calamity hit you. What is it? Free food stop. Come on, brethren. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. But Lord, remember to give us this day our daily bread. And while you were in that condition, while you were praying, you were getting, oh, this is so beautiful. You were feeding and you were so blessed. And all of a sudden, you're blessed. Now, what happened? You crossed Jordan and God said, no more free food. You're going to eat what you sow. You're going to reap what you sow. Now you have the power to sow and to reap. You have the land. And you understand what I am driving at? I am saying, brethren, it's not a natural land now. It is a spiritual land. And the spiritual land is the possession of God inside of you. And that if you don't work that land, you get nothing out of it. Praise God. And there's something worse in him. He said, just a little worse in him. He said, now, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given up unto you, as I said to Moses. Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, bless the Lord. You hear that? I only have to walk in the things to get there. I thought they were mine. Father, what kind of thing is this? You give me this land, isn't it mine? I don't have to walk through and through the land to get it. But God says that the nature, that the glory that God puts in you, if you don't walk in it, you don't get it. is not peculiar, it's simple. It's very simple. If God gave you all the bridges and champagne baths tonight, all the baths of champagne, God took all the bridges and gave it to you, and you drank it and never used a cent out of it, you would be a stupid rich man. You never know what it is to be rich. You have all that money, never have the pleasure of using it. That. Can you understand what we're talking about? God is saying that unless and until you walk in what you believe in the Word of God, you do not really possess it. You will get it here in your mind and you never put it to the test. You never try it out. It's not yours. It only becomes a part of your nature when you walk. Are you with me? God is not interested in your spirit getting strong and powerful. God is interested in you, the man, imbibing in your spiritual being, in your soul, imbibing, taking in the glory of God. God is interested in you taking in the glory of God, because God knows the glory of God will come first in all of you. Can you understand that we do not possess any attribute of God? We cannot possess the nature of God without manifesting it. This is why Brother James said, by your works I will know your faith. By your works, I will know your faith. What kind of faith you have when I see you working on that? Because there's no faith that doesn't work. But there's works that didn't go by faith. So, here we are looking at a natural picture that God drew for us and applying it to the spiritual church and finding that it becomes life in us. Because when Joshua crossed that river, the first thing happened, he saw a man. And this man looked like a warrior. He had his sword and his tie, and Joshua pulled his sword. I don't know who this man is. I'm going to be ready for him. He said, who are you? And I said, I am the captain of the host of God. He said, take your shoes off your feet, for it's time to worship. Hallelujah. Joshua went right down. He was talking to Jesus himself. I want you to know this is the place you meet Jesus face to face. Many of us going around and saying we never met Jesus face to face. And we want to have the experience that Brother Drusil have of speaking to Jesus face to face. Do you know that I discovered that that wasn't Jesus face to face? But Jesus face to face is when you can see him in the spirit. It is when you can see Jesus in the brethren. When you can see the Christ in other people. Do you know that why psychology is such a horrible thing? Forgive me coming off with that. But you know why psychology is such a horrible thing? Once you study psychology, you are marred. Every time you look a man in the face, you start analyzing him before you know what you're doing. Yeah, you start looking at the distance of his eyes and decide whether it's most turned up or turned down, what kind of person he is, and so and so, and you're watching how he blink his eyes or whatever else, because you're trying to pick up every thought that goes through the man's mind by the way he behaves. This is why I said that when you're in Christ Jesus, you just fool all the psychologists, because you act opposite to what they think you should do. Because you're on the spirit guidance. You're on the spirit guidance, so you're not acting in the natural way. But if he's reading you by psychology, you're telling him what God is saying, rather than what you are. This is weird. Praise God. We cannot depend upon any natural science in our spiritual operation. Praise God. See, you know, Joshua are the sons of God. Now, the moment you enter into the spiritual land, God expects you to be a spiritual person. This is our chief problem. Brethren, I want to get this one point over to you. And if I do this, then you can ask me all the questions you want. There is a carnal Christian, and there is a spiritual Christian. We began our life as a Christian when you accept Jesus as your personal Savior. But you didn't have to be holy to accept Jesus. As a matter of fact, you had to be just the opposite of being holy in order to be qualified to accept Jesus as your personal Savior.
Amen.
Amen. So when you accept Jesus Christ, you begin to see the kingdom of God. And it begins to attract you, and it begins to move towards possessing that which you have accepted. Right? Good. Now, when you accept the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you immediately begin to enter into spirit life. You understand? Now, spirit life means you must feed on spirit food. Give us this day our daily bread, you're going to have to get enough spirit energy to run your whole soul machine for the day. You must have fuel. And you are in a dry land, and you must have fuel to run your machinery. You have to do it by faith. And so, as you cross Jordan, which is the Holy Spirit, going over into Jordan, that's going over into the Holy Spirit. As you go over into the Holy Spirit, if you don't obey the Holy Spirit, you perish. Oh, yeah. That's the reason why many of us are perishing, because we don't obey the Spirit of God. If we are sworn to obey some man, then we are in trouble. This is why the discipleship program is wrong, because you swear to obey a man above you, whether the man is right or wrong. How does that man know what is God's perfect will for you? I am not supposed to know what God's perfect will for you. You must know what God's will for you.
Amen.
Bless God. So, you enter into the land, the first thing happened, I said a tragedy occurred, is that you lost your beautiful, free manna. No more manna from heaven. Go out and collect high protein food for nothing. You didn't have to work. You just go out and collect your big basin of high protein food and feed your whole family. and they were healthy and strong because the food that was given to them was prepared of God. But when you enter into the land, there are things you have to do. You have to fight. You have to fight. This is why I'm telling you to take possession of that soul of yours. You have to deliberately fight all the eyes that are in your soul realm. Desires, gluttony, the emotions, in the mind, the intellectual devils that come bombarding your mind. When God gives you a word, you throw it into your intellectual machine and wheel it around, and by the time you come out with it, you get nothing. No more food left in it. I'm going to say something tonight that it's not strange, but you know, that's the kind of thing I would say anyhow. That devils cannot do their business unless they get energy and life. You remember that scripture in Ephesians which tell us that all things live, remember that? And move, help me? Have their being in who? In God. All things. So devils live and move and have their being, at least from God. But how do they do it if they can't approach God? They get it from us. And they get all the power that God has given to us, and they use it to support themselves. Now, when the devil was talking to Jesus in the temptation in the wilderness, in Mark, in Luke 4, he told Jesus, he said, look here, let me show you the kingdoms of the world. Did it ever occur to you what the devil showed Jesus? Please, give me your thoughts. What do you think the devil showed Jesus? It had to be. First of all, there was no mountain tall enough where anybody could stand and see the whole world. That's number one. Number two point is that he was showing him the power of the kingdoms of the world, and it had to be a spiritual vision. Moreover, Jesus, where was he?
In the desert.
Out in the desert. And you heard that he was upon the pinnacle of the temple. How could that happen? How did the temple get out in the desert? He lifted him up in the spirit. Yeah. The mountain he carried him up on is in the spirit. A spiritual mountain. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And then he said to him, I will give you all these things if you'll bow down and worship me. Because you know, as well as I do, that they have been given to me. Jesus didn't refute his claim. Jesus said nothing about this claim. You know how the devil got it? It was given to him by the law of God, which says that a strong man comes into your house and he overcomes you, that the house belongs to him. The law of war, that's the law that Satan took away the power from Adam, because Adam was strong enough to have destroyed the devil, and he should not have allowed him to take away his power. So since he gave him his power, he gave him his dominion and his authority and all the power that goes along with it. So the reason why we have sickness tonight, and we don't seem to be getting the deliverance that we want to, the reason why we don't have enough power to do the things we want to, is because we lack power. It's taken away from us. Devils are using up all the energy in our world to feed themselves and to do their thing. Can you understand that? Okay. Now, so you're going to get it back. And so do I believe. I do believe we are going to get back to our power. You see, the story is that these devils, therefore, are feeding on us. It's very simple. You get into a quarrel or a fight with somebody, and when you're through, you're exhausted. Where did your life and energy go? Somebody bring the Bible to you, and you don't want to hear any Bible at this time. Because you're mad. You don't want to hear the Bible. You don't want to. Why? Because your soul has no energy to accept the Bible at that time. You have been drained dry by some devil. Can you understand? That Christians are juicy morsels. Juicy morsels to devil. Is that the devil looks at you and his mouth waters to get you, because you have more life than a sinner. Once the devil can get you to obey him, he pulls out the energy out of you. You know that. Well, not just up here, but in your soul. In your soul. It is your soul that has the life. It's not just up here. Your soul is your mind, the spiritual energy that your mind and your emotions and everything else carry. It's a charge of life from heaven. And the devils want this. Do you know, I suspect that devils kill people and they get a certain amount of life out of them. You remember when Cain killed Abel? And Abel's life get up from the ground and speak to God. Amen. I believe when devils kill people, they get a lot of life out of it, and this is why they are killing so many people. But that's beside the point. We're coming back to the point. If somebody comes and slanders somebody to you, and you listen to the slander, and you agree with the slander, you'll find after the person is gone, you feel a vacancy like you've lost some energy. They took it away from you. When you fellowship with the people of God and the Spirit of God moves in your midst, you feel like you could jump over them because you've got some energy. That demon spirits are going around tempting people because they want the people to obey them, and once you obey them, you lose energy to them, you lose life to them, they take it. The law of war, they take your benefit, your power. So when you're ready to pray for the sick, you have nothing to give, because you gave it away to some of them. God bless. Let's get the Perizzites and the Hadassites and the Hivites, Jebusites. I don't know. Why is it all of them had a ite at the end? Every one of them knew there were some ite. And I believe God is saying that we have these ites. Ites in the mind. Ites in the emotions. Ites in the will. So that we can't will for God and do it. Ites in the desires. Our desires go off at various angles. You know more than anybody else in the world where those ites are. And all you have to do is to put them on the blood when you find them. to watch them and see them go. And make sure you have that thing no more in your being. Then you make a notch up, the goat for the other one. And God will help you. He'll send you some trouble so that you can get to know where you have the problem. Oh, yes. God bless you. I want you just to freely discuss anything else. Yes.
Okay, we got the five junction muscles, 6 and 7.
Say that again.
See, you gave us the five trumps, but we didn't get 6 and 7. We left off with all the soul in Christ.
I wasn't really dealing with that. yes, you know the six. You know them so well. The six is the overshadowing, and the seventh is a man-child.